Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With your hosts, Divya and Ravisha, two coffee-loving best friends who dive into weekly conversations on wellness, culture, and growing into your authentic self.
As two healthcare professionals, children of immigrants, and humans always striving to learn more, they bring their unique complexities of their wellness journeys into this podcast space by sharing their stories and featuring other like-minded experts in the field.
Always with a cup of coffee in hand, humor, and never-ending authenticity, dive in with the two of them as they brew the kind of conversations that we don't have enough of, but that matter the most.
Actually had me feel really validated that it was validating that sensitivity is just a characteristic, like empathy, being a bit more emotionally sensitive or empathetic towards situations. That's a characteristic trait. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like we all have our own personality or characteristic traits. We don't shame people for other traits and personality traits, but we shame people for some reason for being empathetic or sensitive, even though it's just like not something we can change. For me, I've been innately sensitive from the time I was born, and it's not something that I can change. Like I just look at the world through that view, and I know you do as all right. Well, here we are. We're going to talk about something that we both have been called many times. Well, I've been called it. I don't know. Do you get called sensitive a lot? You don't really, I guess, get called sensitive a lot, but I know you are kind of sensitive.
I do in certain situations, not in all. I think for you, it's a little different because people call you sensitive in all situations.
Yeah, like
since we were kids, I feel like you were just, you used to get that a lot.
Yeah, I always got that I'm sensitive. I feel too deeply. You're being dramatic. Just like that whole spiel.
I know.
But I know for you, just understanding how you process things emotionally, that you do have like this sensitive side of you, which also I'm going to just like bluntly say now, there's nothing wrong with being sensitive. So we're saying the word sensitive. I want, if you're having this reaction that that's a bad thing, to try to like work to unlearn that, because it's not a bad thing. So it's not a bad thing. But knowing you, Ravisha, I know that you have like this sensitive element to you when you're processing things emotionally. But when I was starting to just talk about it, it was the first time I really thought about it and was thinking like, oh, you actually, I don't think get called that. I mean, at least as much as I do.
Yeah, I think for me too, it's not with everyone I can be like sensitive with. I feel like I have to be like pretty comfortable with people. But yeah, I would agree. Both of us do, again, have quote unquote sensitive characteristics. And I think maybe like growing up, it could have been seen as kind of like a bad thing, like that you're not tough enough or you can't like, you know, process things. But, you know, as you know, we've grown up and we've done more work on ourselves or like done more research, we realize like being sensitive is actually not a bad thing at all. And that's what we wanted to talk about today, because I'm sure other people have been called sensitive, you know, in certain situations. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can come off as rude, basically.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to kind of go over why, like, as a society, like, being sensitive is seen as, like, maybe being weak.
Yeah, and why we need to be able to reframe that of how we view it in society, that we have to be able to start saying the word sensitive without feeling bad. Like, even when mm-hmm. I was saying that people call us sensitive, I was thinking, oh, but not in a bad way. When it's also just like, it's not a bad thing. We all have sensitivities. We think about things differently and it's not bad, but it just reminds us that how formative words are. And when people tell you a certain word from a young age, we can stick to it. And I know for some people that's, oh, you're so smart or you're so good at school or, you know,
yeah.
I don't know, whatever we stick to. But I know definitely for me, it was sensitive, like this word of being sensitive, being open about my feelings or crying or just being open about that. I don't think there's a single person I know who has not seen me cry, honestly. Like when I'm thinking about it now, I don't think there's anyone, obviously, other than really like, I guess like, I don't know, my patients and stuff like that. But just in general, I feel my feelings in a way that's obviously like appropriate. But if something's sad, I cry. Or if something's happy, I cry. Or if I'm mad, I cry.
Same here. I feel like everyone in my life, like especially in my circle, has seen me cry. Like
it's nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah. And I will say I was kind of like shamed about it.
Yeah.
Like as an adult for a little bit, like, cause I would be like that one friend that would cry like in any type of situation.
But especially weddings. Rubisha cries at every single wedding. She like doesn't know.
No, I really do. I think like probably at every one of my friends' weddings, there's probably like a picture of me crying because I like literally feel all the feels and I don't think people like assume that of me. And so sometimes they are shocked when I am like crying in a corner at a wedding.
Yeah. Why do you feel like people don't assume that about you? Because they think that probably will resonate with a lot of people that internally they feel really like sensitive or heightened toward things emotionally, but externally they feel like they can't show it because maybe people won't expect that.
Yeah. And I think that's like a key difference between Divya and I is that like sometimes like I do try to have more of like a tougher exterior and don't try to show my emotions as much. And I think it's just, that's just how I always been. But like, if I'm truly like feeling a certain emotion or like I'm in my feels, like it will come out. Like, it's not like I'm hiding it all the time, but I feel like there's like certain situations that it comes out more than others.
Yeah. Yeah. And the more comfortable we get in certain surroundings, I think also the more comfortable we get with like feeling our own feelings. And that can happen when you get older. And I know that, you know, both of us have done a lot of work on our own, just like self-growth, self-healing through therapy and our own reflection of our lives. But I would say that like the more that I started to feel comfortable with my own emotions and feel that my emotions are valid and emotions are part of life, I was more open to expressing them in a way that I wasn't in the past. So I think that for me was something when I was younger, I would express emotions and feel guilty about it. That, oh, I'm so sensitive, I'm so dramatic, there's something wrong with me. But now when I express my emotions, I still sometimes fall into the trap that, oh, I'm sensitive and something's wrong with me. But I try to reframe it in the way that I have emotions and it's human. And I've honestly seen that like when I've shown emotions to people, it's deepened my relationship with them too, because they have emotions and then they share it.
I totally agree. I think too, for me, when I was like younger, sometimes it would be like so much pent up emotion and then it would all just come out at once.
Yeah.
And it would just be like, so at the time, like I feel so overwhelmed because like I would just like pent it all up inside and like not express how I'm feeling. And I feel like as an adult, I've done more of a better job of like not letting like that pent up emotion like stay in myself. Like I try to just express how I'm feeling as I'm feeling it instead of like trying to push it away. And it's not easy, I will say. Like I think we talk about this a lot too, that like feeling your emotions sometimes can just cause you to feel lonely, or you may not understand why you're feeling a certain way. And so sometimes like it's like so hard to even like put into words how you're feeling. But if you need a good cry, you need a good cry.
Exactly. A good cry can seriously heal anything.
Seriously.
And I've experienced that from a young age, that a good cry, I just feel better after. And the more that I've learned about sensitivity, and I know this is kind of going a bit more into maybe like the quote unquote science piece of it that we bring into our podcast, but that it actually had me feel really validated, that it was validating that sensitivity is just a characteristic, like empathy, being a bit more emotionally sensitive or empathetic towards situations. That's a characteristic trait. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like we all have our own personality or characteristic traits. We don't shame people for other traits and personality traits, but we shame people for some reason for being empathetic or sensitive, even though it's just like not something we can change. For me, I've been innately sensitive from the time I was born, and it's not something that I can change. Like I just look at the world through that view, and I know you do as well, but it's not something to feel bad about. Like,
yeah, I'm literally like nodding my head like a crazy.
I really am seeing it, and I feel like your head's about to fly off your.
Because I'm like, yes.
Yeah, it's like not bad, right? What we praise people for certain characteristic traits, and why do we not do that for people being sensitive? You just make them feel so bad. And for so many years, I felt something was wrong with me, but now I'm just like, wow, that actually is an innate characteristic trait. It's not like learned. You don't learn sensitivity. Yeah. It's just there.
Yeah, I would agree. And I feel like for the longest time, like you and I would just not understand why like having like empathetic qualities would kind of characterize us as like not being strong people.
Yeah.
And not to like take away people that aren't empathetic, like Divya said, it's like something that's like kind of like you're born with almost. It's like kind of like that, it's like wired into you. And so we can't control how we are sometimes. Yeah. And I feel like for the longest time, like being empathetic was just could be seen as being dramatic, being like, again, like that word sensitive, you know, there's so many words that would be used instead of like, you know, being empathetic. And it's almost like we felt misunderstood in that way.
Absolutely. And when you say misunderstood and how we weren't able to, I guess like for your perspective, but I definitely feel like, I mean, I know we've talked about this, so I resonate with what I know you're going to say. But what role do you feel that one, gender played in it, and two, culture played in it?
Oh, that's a good question. I think gender definitely played a huge role in it. Obviously, being a woman, it's can be easily seen that, you know, we're way too emotional. We, you know, show all our emotions all the time. And then culturally too, like being South Asian, have been told to, like, you know, be tough, my mom always told me this, and I think I've mentioned this before, but she's always like, you're my strong kid. Mm-hmm. And basically, because I would just like hold everything in and not show her that I would, you know, would be feeling any kind of emotion. And I would like, now as an adult, I'm like, look, I can't be that way anymore.
Yeah.
I can't hold it all in. And so, yeah, I think both played a huge factor in it culturally and, you know, gender role wise as well.
Because in some cultures, and for us in our South Asian culture, it was just not normalized to have these sensitive qualities. And I don't doubt that there were other people, like the older generation, who also had it, because again, it's a born trait. But it probably was that they felt they had to suppress it. And in our, at least for me, it was really confusing, because I saw some people around me being able to express that sensitivity. And so I would be like, okay, I can do that here. But then there are other environments that are telling me that I can't express it. And so it can be really confusing. And then you end up forming your own relationship with, you know, is what I'm doing good? Is what I'm doing bad? Because for me, as long as I could remember, I feel that I felt so strongly. I always felt everything. And any process of information always goes through my emotions, through my heart, and then like through my head. And I know for some people that's different, right? Like I always use Roger as an example, because I guess like he's one of the people I interact with on a day-to-day basis, but he processes information first through his head, and then it has to be intentional for it to go through like his heart and his emotions. Yeah. But for me, that's how I immediately, like in a blink of an eye, it's just like, I can't even stop it. It's just how I do it. And then thinking about it in this way, more through my head, is like that second nature. But we only, for some reason, praise people when they think with their head. But then what about all the people who their first nature is thinking through their heart? Like, we're deemed as something's wrong with us.
Yeah, we're almost deemed as like illogical.
Yeah, which we're smart AF, like even with having sensitivity and empathy. What the heck?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with like, for example, Raj's way of thinking, like him being more logical, and then our way of thinking of like our emotions being first. Mm-hmm. You know, like no trait is either like good or bad. You know, they're both equally as good, but it's just like, I feel like sometimes other people can misunderstand you, and then you feel like, you know, that trait of yours, which is like a strong quality to have, then is like diminished. And so I think that's why we're trying to talk about that today, because, you know, we know that sometimes like Divya said, like those keywords that you have been told while growing up can really stick with you.
Exactly.
And then kind of shapes you as an adult. And then when you realize that like you're not being true to yourself, it can be confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
yeah, you not like knowing really what to do about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you end up feeling confused about something that actually is one of your greatest ways of interpreting the world and like mm-hmm. your superpower. Like for the both of us, our sensitivity and our empathy, and for so many other people as well, that is something that is their superpower. And I know for me, it's something that really helps me deepen my relationships in ways that maybe for someone who doesn't have this inherent trait of emotional sensitivity, it might be a little harder to have to work through some of those things in relationships versus for us, we can be so in tune with whether it be a partner or friends or family in a way that, you know, at times can sometimes be also not the greatest thing. It can be draining, but
yeah,
you know, that is a superpower. And I wish that people talked about that more. So that's what Ravish and I want to do in this space. So if you're somebody who resonates with that, that, you know, one, starting to reframe that, because if you actually think your sensitivity or empathy is a bad thing, you're going to see that in every situation and you're going to shame yourself, like who, let alone other people shaming you, you're going to shame yourself first. So you have to first feel that this is actually something that is a powerful trait. This is my superpower, and start to be appreciative of your sensitivity. Because I would say for me that definitely once I started to feel appreciative for it, then I started to be able to hold it in a way that was more like more productive overall.
I would agree. Like once I started to embrace that part of me more, I felt more ease with myself and like more comfortable. And I think it was because I just didn't care anymore. Like I used to really, and I mean, I still kind of do, like, I won't lie. Like I do care about people's opinions about me. I feel like that's never going to go away, but it's not as strong as much as it used to be.
It used to be. Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes like, you know, you would walk into a room full of strangers or like maybe some people, you know, and like, I used to think like, oh no, what are people thinking about me? But like now that like feeling I don't have anymore because I'm a lot more comfortable within myself. And like, no, like I have like good, strong qualities that I like present, you know?
Yeah. And you feel more confident, because I really do feel that the flip side of when we're feeling insecure about something is, you know, it says like very, it's just plain and simple, is starting to feel confident about it. Because if we, a lot of the time, I even like in, I've said this in my therapy, but I've also heard this on the other end, is like, I just shouldn't be this way. I need to stop being this way. I need to stop being anxious. I need to stop being sensitive. I need to stop being whatever. And it's like, you're not going to stop doing that if you're so mad at yourself for being that way. Like the only way that we can actually stop having such a hard relationship with it is for us to start accepting it. And so I think that one, accepting your own sensitivity by knowing that what it's okay, but then also it's a big role in like society. I hope that we can talk about it differently. And I hope that this episode can be a way that someone can, if they think of someone who's more emotionally sensitive, that they can talk to them about it in a different way.
I agree. And if you, especially if like you're listening and you maybe want to be like more aware of like other people, how other people are and like how to talk to them, like I feel like this is like a good place to start.
Yeah.
Because the last thing you ever want to do is make someone feel uncomfortable. And especially if like if you, because everyone is different and sometimes like things can be said that can make another person feel upset by it, but they might not be able to tell you that. And it's maybe just because like, you know, words were framed wrong or there just wasn't like the right way to phrase things. So like we're just trying to reframe that mindset a little bit. Yeah.
And how you can talk about it. Because if you are, if you feel that sensitivity is a bad thing, and then you have like a friend or family member who is actually sensitive in ways, then they're not going to feel comfortable with it. So there's this graphic that Ravish and I had found that we will post, and you also on our Instagram and credit who had made it, and it is by Dr. Lalita. I feel so bad.
I believe it's Lalita.
Lalita, yeah. Right? That's what I thought. Okay, it's spelled Doctor, obviously. L A LITAA. And so there are two sides of being sensitive. So they write about the two sides and put bullet points for each. So I'm going to read the side that's what I thought sensitivity is. And then Ravisha, you can read the side of what sensitivity actually is. And we can maybe chat about it, because sure. I found this to be super insightful.
Yeah, this is great.
So this felt really on point, because this is what growing up people, I had internalized that this is what sensitivity was. When people called me sensitive, I thought it was these adjective. So it is what I thought being sensitive was. And it's dramatic, anxious, irrational, difficult, too much, weak, or emotional. And that just, oh my God, even saying that just feels hit. I've been called each of these so many times. Like, I can even think about being called this in the last month by people. It's just like, you know, it's crazy.
I hate that for you though. That it's like so upsetting that like people will say that, because it's so much more deeper than that. It's not like any of these adjectives.
Yeah.
And especially like that first one, dramatic. Oh,
it's also, the word dramatic is so rooted in the patriarchy, which I could go on another rant about that. This is not the episode for, maybe we'll do a part two, but it's so angry. Like, why do we have to be the mad woman or the one who can't, you know? It was, oh my gosh, I need that Taylor Swift quote. It was one that was like, when a man has something to say, he's like, whatever. Yeah. Oh man, she's Taylor Swift. Look it up. But it was like, when a woman has something to say, it's dramatic. But the adjective for the man was that it was like empowering or something. But then a woman, you know, even think about with sensitive guys, like when a guy is being emotionally aware, we praise them. We're like, oh my God, like, wow, what a great guy. Even if we see, let's say, dads like taking care of their children, we're like, oh my God, they're such a good dad. But then when a mom is doing like the same thing, it's like them being sensitive and in tune, it's not praised.
Yeah, the gender roles, honestly, sometimes it like baffles me.
That's what happens when you put two women on a podcast. But okay, so Ravisha, then say what sensitivity actually is.
Okay, yeah. So what sensitivity actually is passionate, intuitive, responsive, empathetic, understanding, observant, and attuned.
Yes.
So like when you like these adjectives are basic, like, you know, how I would describe both of us, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. And the more I've been thinking about it also, when people say the adjectives that I had said, like the dramatic, anxious, irrational, too much, etc., that has more to say about their own comfort with emotions than me, right? Like, and that's something that's helped me understand that when someone says that to me, I don't even internalize that as much of who I am. My reaction to it is that like, oh wow, that person has some work to do in their own comfort with emotions, because that is what is coming out, like the emotional immaturity on that level. And that's not something that I can change. I can never, unless they do their own work around feeling comfortable with emotions, they're going to keep thinking that someone who shows emotions is dramatic or irrational or whatever, because that's uncomfortable for them. So like, that is about them having to do their own work, not for us to feel crappy about ourselves.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because sometimes we get so in our head about, you know, what, again, it's like what people say to you. And so if you're not like as confident with who you are and someone does call you dramatic, it can be like very hurtful to you. But as Divya said, you know, she's built her confidence, like knows who she is and is strong. So when someone is calling her dramatic, she knows that, like, you know what, that's their problem, that they think this way, not my issue.
Exactly. On them, not my issue. And I hope that that's something that listening to this episode, you can have a bit more to think about that. Either if you are someone who has used adjectives like dramatic, anxious, too much, emotional, weak, this isn't an episode to shame you on it, but to just educate that there can be other ways that we look at what being sensitive is. And also having compassion that, again, sensitivity is something that people are inherently born with. So shaming someone for something that they just cannot change about themselves is not, it's just honestly like not nice. It's not productive. It's just so crappy.
It is. And you know, you're just going around in circles about like, you know, about like trying to like make someone different than who they are,
when they just can't do that. They're just born like that.
So I think like we can kind of share now like maybe some tips for people that are, you know, considered like sensitive.
Any sensitive Sallys here?
You know, some like strategies that can help you like kind of feel better about who you are. And, you know, if you feel like, you know, you're struggling with being yourself because, you know, you have been shamed about it or you don't feel as confident, we have some tips, some strategies.
Let's talk about some strategies. So I would say the first one that I can think of is, again, like what I had just shared, is my own introspection about sensitivity and empathy. So like that self-awareness. So by just like recognizing that it's a good thing, it's a good trait for me to be sensitive, it's a good trait for me to be aware, and it can deepen my relationships, it can deepen my connection to people, and it's not something that's bad. Because if I'm looking at it, that's something, a bad thing about me, then everywhere I express sensitivity, I'm going to feel bad about it. So starting to just reflect on my own about what sensitivity is, what it means, and like starting from within. I would say that that for like me was, at least if I had to look back and think, what if I'm making just like a foundational step of what it looked like, it would have started with that. I don't know what for you it would have started with, or if you find that to be the same.
I actually would find it to be the same.
Yeah.
Because I think you can't control other people, but you can sometimes control like what's going on with your mind a little bit. And if you know, like just being aware of how you are and what is best for you, I think that's like a good place to start.
Yeah, exactly. What would you say would be another tip that for at least you has been helpful?
Yeah, I think another tip would be like setting boundaries. So if you feel like with certain people in your life, certain relationships that you have, and you feel constantly brought down by someone because like they're coming at you, like being like calling you dramatic, things like that. And, you know, you've had a couple conversations where like, that makes me uncomfortable when you say that, or like you've talked about it and they still have not reciprocated that.
Yeah,
they're trying to not make you feel that way. Sometimes you do have to set a boundary with said person, and you don't maybe limit the amount of interaction you have, or unfortunately distance yourself with that person. Again, like you never want to make yourself like be constantly in a situation where someone is bringing you down.
Exactly.
And after multiple attempts of trying to have someone understand your perspective and understand where you're coming from, and they're just not getting it, sometimes you have to like draw a line at that point.
Yeah. And not like, expect something else from them.
Exactly. And it's tough. It's like, this is like, I would say this is one of the tougher ones to kind of follow through with, but you have to think about yourself. And if someone is like bringing down a bit that, or like a part of you that is like, you know, I don't know, like shaming you about it, I just don't think that person is worth.
Yeah. Yeah. And reflecting, like, cause they're not even seeing you as you at that point. Cause it's,
that's exactly
quality about you.
Mm-hmm. And it can be tough to like set that boundary, but like, you just have to evaluate how important that relationship is.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like also communicating, because they also communicating, you can set a conversational boundary around, I'm not talking about this. Almost like if you are going to say I'm sensitive or emotional or too much, I am not going to share my emotions with you anymore. I'm not going to share my day to day, and like letting them know that those words have consequences, because the way that, again, the way that we talk about things in words just matters so much. Yeah. I think like through my own reflection, I've just really, I already know how much words matter, but just when we rip back all the layers of these words that we've internalized from such young ages in our adult life, like so much of our adult life is unlearning things.
Unfortunately.
Which is exactly so much of this, like how you see yourself. And for so long, I would see myself as, you know, it's a bad thing. But now working to set boundaries, like what exactly you said, is so good. It's even like for me, like I've really filtered out some information I share with people who in the past have shamed me for having sensitivity or empathy. So, you know, just like filtering that, because it's not worth it for you to just keep feeling bad about yourself. And sometimes it's, even though it's really painful to think about it, it's like beating a dead horse.
Yeah, you're right. And I was just thinking this too, like sometimes like you remember so clearly when someone has said something to you, mm-hmm. and they might not even remember that they said that to you.
No, it's not even on their mind. Like, yeah. they don't recognize it.
But for you, it impacted you so greatly that that's all you can think about sometimes. Yeah. That, yeah. like, that moment, that's all that's in your head. And it's crazy how, like, for someone else, that they, for them, it's like that moment didn't even happen.
Exactly. And so having to communicate that, I guess, is that bottom line.
Yeah.
That's the next thing I'll think of, I just thought of, is really, like, communicating how you feel. That it really, you know, that can be hard to do when someone's already calling you sensitive, is being like, oh, I feel this XYZ. But even, like, providing psychoeducation, that just some people have different inherent traits, and for, you know, for some it's sensitivity, emotional sensitivity. For others, it's thinking a bit more with logic. But just educating people that everyone is different, because I think that can also have you have more empathy for one another, because you just know that each other is wired different. So communicating that to them, like communicating that message, and how can I better understand you based on how you process information? How can you better understand me based on how I process information? So just, like, communicating with each other that one way is not the, like, quote unquote right way, and finding something that is actually a way you can communicate that connects the both of you. Because, like, shaming one another for thinking or feeling a certain way is so disconnecting.
I know. And sometimes it will take multiple attempts. Like, it's something that won't happen, like, overnight or with one conversation.
Yeah.
Especially when you're trying to explain, like, your perspective and then understanding someone else's perspective, you know, it takes time. Like, we're all wired differently. We're not the same. Yeah. So if we want to, like, get through to someone and someone wants to get through to us, like, it takes some time. And so, like, patience is a key too. Like,
absolutely.
You can't expect resolve right away. It takes, like, I will say, like, sometimes it depends on a situation, but, you know, like, months, weeks, years, like, you never know how long it's going to take. So just having patience about it is important as well.
Yeah. And taking care of yourself in that process, like, setting boundaries, having patience is a way that you are trying to improve yourself and the way that you respond to situations, but also to, like, engage in spaces and activities and situations that do support and welcome and encourage that sensitivity, and doing things that, like, rejuvenate you, like, whether it be things like journaling or meditating, where you can touch base with some of your feelings and thoughts in a way that maybe you aren't able to in other environments, or pursuing any creative outlets, just, like, anything that gives you the flexibility to express your emotions if you don't feel that you can do that in other spaces.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think, like, this is, like, like, good starting point for anyone that's, like, feeling kind of stuck about, you know, this thing, not, like, feeling confident in who they are, and, like, knowing that they are, like, called sensitive, and trying to, like, work through that, like, what that means for them. I think everyone, like, I think when you're being, like, I'm trying to frame this in the way where it's, like, when you're being, like, told that you're sensitive or you're dramatic, it sometimes it can be so hard to, like, get out of that hole and, like, really appreciate who you are as a person, because when you're told that, it's, like, so negative, and it really, like, brings you down.
Absolutely. And it feels so, it just feels like you're not a big part of you, can't be seen. Like, I know for me that I felt that okay, if this is something that is such a bad thing, but it's also such a big part of me, then, like, what's the point? Like, what can I do? What can I be?
Yeah. And you feel like you have to, like, hide your true self.
Yeah. Yeah. And so even if this is an episode that validates how you're feeling, or it has, if you're somebody who you think a little bit more logically, again, that's nothing wrong with you. You're just inherently someone who thinks more logically. Maybe this can be a way for you to reframe how you think about those who you've engaged with, who have more of the, like, sensitive traits, or they think more with the emotional part of their mind. And it can give you more empathy, and also just understanding on how you can communicate with them.
Exactly.
Wow. I wish some people listened to these episodes I listened to it when I was, you know, I don't even know, a long time ago, but, you know, better late than never.
At least we're doing it.
At least we're doing it. We're on the right track now. So that's all that matters.
Well, it's, like, crazy too, that, like, as adults, like, you, have to, like, reframe so much stuff that, like, was from your childhood is, like, so different to now. And so you don't even realize that sometimes that, like, you're doing the work, but, like,
it's just, it's happening slowly.
It's happening slowly, but it's still happening. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you next week. I guess like this episode's going to be when I'm gone already. So I'm going to be, oh my gosh.
Why don't you tell our listeners where you're going?
CB friends, I am going to be having a European summer. I'm going to be, I'm going to London and around Italy. So I'm so excited. But yeah, this episode will be dropping when I'm there. Ravisha was first in Japan. Now I'm in Europe. So
look at us.
I'm proud of us. We really have been trying to do more of what brings us joy and makes us happy. So I'm really proud of us for doing that. So again, for you, whatever that looks like, whether it be take a day off of work, go on a walk after work, travel, get on a plane. I don't know what it is, but just encouraging you to do it.
Yeah. It's summertime, you know, like things get hectic, schedules are busy, but always remember to take some time for yourselves and like your needs.
Exactly. On that note, my needs is that I'm going to go and eat dinner.
Same here.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of Conversations Brewing. We hope you take some moments to reflect on our episode with some coffee in hand. New episodes of Conversations Brewing come out on Tuesdays.
We'd love to hear from you about what resonated with you and what you want to hear more about. So let us know on Instagram at our account at Conversations Brewing. If this episode was helpful, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcast and continue to tune in weekly.
We so appreciate your support and we'll brew some conversations with you next week.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.